Okay, today's daf is Menachos Daf Nun Dalid. We are holding on Daf Nun Gimlam Beis toward the bottom of the page. So we had a machlokas yesterday. We have a practical issue that the Mishnah discussed, that if you're going to make chametz, most menachos are both matzah, but there are a couple of exceptions. Chametz Shabbatoda, those chametz loaves in the Karban Toda that are brought with the Karban Toda, and the Shtei Alechem that have to be chametz. But if you're going to make chametz, you need some sort of agent that's going to cause it to become chametz, some sort of leavening agent. So how exactly do you make a leavening agent out of an Yisarman of flour without being mosif on it and just still getting it right? So Reb Meir had said that you take a little bit of flour out, you measure out the Yisarman, take a little bit of flour out, you make that into a dough, into a type of sourdough, into a type of yeast, although not fully into yeast, and you just put it right back into the flour, you bury it right back into the flour, and it will leaven itself, and will leaven the rest of the flour. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's no good, that's a minimum of char. Rather, what you do is, you take sa'ar from somewhere else, and you just put it in, and you're memali asamida after putting sa'ar into the kli, then you fill up the rest of the kli with flour. So the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, no, your idea of taking sa'ar, taking yeast, taking sourdough, and putting it in is not a good idea, because it's either going to be chasera or yisera. So says the Gemara, five lines from the bottom, Rameir Masar Bodel and Betochel Machmitz, on my chasera o yisera. What do we mean it's going to be a little bit chaser or a little bit yeser? What exactly does that mean, that it's going to be chaser or yeser? So Amar Rav Chista, isa sa'ar ava nimtse yisera. If the isas ha-sa'ar that they put in, the little piece of dough that they put in to cause it to leaven, is a very thick piece of dough, meaning that there wasn't that much water, the ratio of flour to water was a high volume of flour for very little water, so then it's going to be yisera midas yisaron. You're going to have more flour than necessary in your yisaron. Raka nimtzeis chasera. If it happened to have been a softer dough, it happened to have been a dough with more water, less flour, then it's going to be chaser. It just means it's going to be very difficult to cheshbon exactly how much flour was in this little piece of dough that you added in. So since it's going to be difficult to cheshbon, you're likely to be off by a little bit in one direction or the other. So frankly, Gemara, sof, ki kakayil, li isarun kakayil. But why does it matter at the end of the day when as Rashi says, isarun kakayil, my ichbat lan lemeimar ilu hava kemach, when you measure it out, it's not flour. So what's the problem? Meaning, when you measure it out, you're measuring out an isaron, and it's not kemach. So why do we have to figure out, oh, how much flour is in this little piece of sourdough? It doesn't matter how much flour. You're measuring out an isaron right now, and this is mashlim, the isaron. So Rabbi Rav Yosef, Dar Mitarvaya, L'kamo Shehein, Hoysu Misha'arinan. No, we have to measure, we have to do the cheshbon of Nisaron, not based on what we have in front of us, but based on how much flour initially was here. And therefore, it matters how much flour was in this dough, because that's how we measure the Yisaron. The Yisaron is measured by flour alone, by what it was before it was ever mixed with water, before it was ever made into a yeast. So frankly, Gemara, okay, we have a better solution. Rav Meir had one idea, Rav Yehuda had another idea, right? Rav Meir's idea was to take a little bit of the flour out, after you measure out the Yisaron, make a little dough and bury it back in. Rabbi Yehuda's idea was to first put just a piece of yeast from Makom Acher and then fill the rest in with flour. Says the Gemara, we have a better idea. V'lishkol portaminei, take out a little piece from it, similar to what Rameir said, but v'lichmetzei me'avrai, cause it to become chametz me'avrai, outside of the mixture, put it in a hot place, or put it in a dough that's already chametz somewhere, till it's chametz yafe, Rashi says, and then go put it back in with the rest, and then go knead it in to the rest of the flour. So isn't that going to do the best job? I mean, instead of doing like Rav Meir says, of taking a little bit out, mixing with water, and putting it right back in, take it out, mix it with water, and really be machmitz it. Put it in a hot place, put it in somewhere where it's going to be machmitz quickly and well, and make a really good piece of yeast. And once it's a really good piece of yeast, then put it back in. Why put it back in? Right away. So says the Gemara, Gezeri Dilma Asi L'suya Me'alma. We have to put it back in right away, because if you don't put it back in right away, people are going to see that you're bringing this piece of yeast from somewhere else. They're not going to realize that you had just taken it right out of the Sisarum. They're going to think you took it from somewhere else and that it's totally unrelated to this carbon. So lest people think that you're allowed to bring Me'alma, As Rashi says, "Gzeirah d'masi l'asui me'alma isharis le'lchamtzul mi'b'chutz l'achziro kan." If you allow them to be machmesit elsewhere and bring it back, haroesh shuhum aviyom minachutz v'lashu mekan ve'inu modei achshav ha'isaron. Someone who sees you bringing it from somewhere else and putting it back in and not measuring the isaron out, savor shu mosif al isaron, is going to think that you're adding on to the isaron. V'asi l'asui isar me'alma l'vadi isaron. Then it will come to happen that people will add sa'ar in addition to the isaron. And we don't want that to happen. Fine, period. Tanur Rabbanan, so says the Braisa. Ein machmitzin betapuchim. You're not supposed to be machmitz when those parts of menachos that need to be chametz, you're not supposed to be machmitz them with tapuchim. Tapuchim are also a leavening agent. Mishum Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel amru machmitzin. Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel, they say the name Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel, that you can be machmitz with tapuchim. Rav Kahana masni la Rabbi Chanin ben Tradion. That it was Rabbi Chanin ben Tradion, not Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel, who says that you may be machmitz with tapuchim. What are tapuchim? So the way we typically translate tapuach and the way it means in modern Hebrew is apples, but we've pointed out many times in the past, Rav Shechter in Be'ikve Atzon, in the second Sefer Be'ikve Atzon, Simen Tesvav Oz Dalid writes in regards to the discussion about charoses, that when it comes to charoses, there's a machlokas tanaim in Psachim Kuf Yudalid. Is it a mitzvah drabanan, or it's just to dull the effect of the maror, but it's not really a mitzvah? The Rambam paskins like Rav Lazar Rav Tzadik that charoses is a mitzvah, and l'chora says Rav Shechter, if charoses is a mitzvah, and it's not stam an eitzah refuit bialma, it's not stam good medical advice that the maror won't kill you, so to take some charoses, but it's actually a mitzvah, then it makes sense that the ingredients should be important, that it should matter what you put into your charoses. So Tosos quotes from the Tshuvas HaGaonim in Psachim Kufta Zayinam and Aleph, that you have to make charoses from peros shenidmulam knesis shol b'shir ashirim, from those peros that Klal Yisrael is compared to in Shir Ashirim. And one of the things that one of the fruits that Klal Yisrael is compared to in Shir Ashirim is tapuach. So that's where the minhag comes from, that we put tapuach in charoses. But here's the problem. Tosfos Maseches Tainis Chavtes Amud Beis Dibur Maschus Shel Tapuchim quotes Yesh Mefarshim that Tapuchim means Esrogim, because Bizman HaTanach in Eretz Yisrael there were no such thing as apples in Eretz Yisrael. Bizman HaTanach, they simply didn't have apples in Eretz Yisrael, therefore could not, Shir Ashirim could not be referring to an apple. It must be referring, and especially since the what's the expression Reach HaPecha Kitapuchim, so it sounds like a strong pungent odor. Reach HaPecha Kitapuchim, apples don't really have a very strong smell. Citrus fruits, they have a very strong smell. So much more likely that it's a citrus fruit than an apple. And in fact, the Gemara gives three reasons for Reb Lazar ben Tzadik who holds that charoses is a mitzvah: either a zecher letit, zecher letapuach, or zecher ledam. And nafkamina ledina is what you should put into it. We're machmir for all shitos. We make it like a cementy type of substance. We put tapuach in, and we put some red wine in it as a zecher ledam. But what's the tapuach that you're supposed to put into it? So that's what a lot of Rishonim say, that it should be tapuchim chamutzim. It should be something like an orange. It should be a citrus fruit rather than an apple. So the minhag of all of Klal Yisrael that we put a tapuch, that we put apples in our charoses, and I've never met anyone who doesn't, is probably a mistake. It's probably based on a misunderstanding of what the word tapuach means. Tapuach means, and of course over here also, as a leavening agent, one would imagine that that citrus is a much stronger leavening agent than apples. So okay.
Does the Rambam list tapuach in the ingredients for charoses? He has a very detailed.
I don't know. I don't know what the Rambam referred to as tapuach. I mean, in biblical Hebrew, it seems clear that tapuach is not an apple. That it's that it's some type of citrus fruit. Okay, I don't know. Maybe apple cider is a good leavening agent. I don't know. Maybe it's not so crazy that tapuach refers to apple. I don't know. But anyway, that's Rav Shechter's Hara. So we have this machlokas whether those things that need to be chametz, you can be machmitz them with a tapuach. So the Gemara says, "Kaman azla haditnan." So who's the following Mishnah going like? We just had a machlokas whether tapuach is an appropriate leavening agent, but we have a Mishnah in Maseches Trumos where the Mishnah says, "Tapuach sherisko v'nasnu b'tocha isa v'chimtza harezu asura." Let's say you take a tapuach. Pashup shot of the Mishnah is a tapuach of truma. And you crush it up and you put it into a dough as a leavening agent, and it's machmet the dough. So does the whole bread now have a din of truma? Is it asura mutter? So the Mishnah says, harezu asura. So kaman leima Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel hivelo rabbanan. Sounds like that's going like Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, that tapuach is machmet, that tapuach causes the problem of chametz. So you see Rashi, damar chimutz ma'al yihi vishtakach de'ichmetz b'truma v'asura. Only if it's really machmet the whole loaf of bread will the bread be considered something that was nechmetz al yedei truma, and then the bread will become aser. But if the tapuach wasn't really machmetz the bread, it's not going to aser the whole bread, it's just an ingredient, and you'd have to measure it out based on the way you would any sort of a taroves that has truma in it. But if it's machmetz, so then it's like a maimid on the whole bread, then it's going to affect the entire bread. So it sounds like it's going like Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel and not the Rabbanan. Now it happens to be in that Mishnah, there are several ways to understand that Mishnah. There's Machlokas and Mefarshim exactly how to understand the Mishnah. The Bar Tanura and the Rambam understand that the Mishnah is saying that when we say Harezu Asura, is that the bread is Asur for a Zar to eat, because just like Truma is Asur Lazarim, this dough is also, since it's Huchmatz Al Yedei Tapuchim Shal Truma, it's also Asur Lazarim. That's the way the Rambam and the Rav Bar Tanura understands. The Sfasemis asks, well, if that's what it's all about, just an Isser Lazarim, what does that have anything to do with Chimutz? Wouldn't the Isser become Asr anyways, even if it wasn't Chametz? And the Isser Shaloras Vedochen and all the other Minim that are Banli de Chimutz, if you put a Tapuach Shal Truma into it, so it's Asr anyway, because it's considered, the Truma is considered a Maimid, because that's, it hardens the dough. It makes the dough stronger anyway, even if it's not Machmitz the dough. It's still going to asur the dough. So that's the kash of the Sfasemis on that pshat. But other Rishonim learn the Mishnah differently. The Meiri Psachim Lamed Hay says that the Mishnah means to say that it's asura l'menachos. Now we're not saying that it's asur for a zar to eat. We're saying that it's called chametz, meaning that it's called chametz in regards to menachos, and menachos have to be matzah. So if you're machmetz al yedei tapuchim, it's considered chametz, and it's pasul menachos. And then other Rishonim, the Tosa Rashba in Pesachim and Daflam and Hembeis, is mistapik, whether the Mishnah means that it's an Isra of Achilus chametz bePesach, or it's an Isra of Havas Mincha of chametz, but not that it's an Isra of Truma for a Zar. It's an Isra of chametz of some sort, just a question of, is it an Isra of chametz bePesach, or an Isra of chametz in terms of truma. So anyway, so says the Gemara, Afilu Teim Rabbanan. Now maybe we can really say our Mishnah is going like, that Mishnah in Truma is going like the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan who say that those breads that need to be chametz for menachos can even be machmitz with tapuchim, even if you're assuming like the Rabbanan that say that you can be machmitz, that you cannot be machmitz with tapuchim, that does not count as chametz, could still be the author of the Mishnah that says that truma, that's machmitz a dough, makes it usher. Why? Nihi de chametz gomer lo havi nukshami ahavi. Because tapuchim can be machmitz, it just can't be machmitz as chametz gomer. It can be machmitz as chametz nuksha, meaning it starts the chimutz process, but the chimutz process never finishes when you use tapuchim to leaven a dough. So pashup shat, the Gemara is trying to say that according to everyone, an isa that's huchmatz al yedei tapuchim is considered chametz nuksha. It's just a machlokas where the chametz nuksha works for the mitzvah of chametz that you have by shtei alechem and lach metoda. That shtei alechem lach metoda have to be chametz. What kind of chametz? Is chametz nuksha good enough, or do you need real chametz? The Rabbanan hold that chametz nuksha is not good enough. Rami Chanin Megamliel holds chametz nuksha is good enough, but the metzias, everyone agrees that if you use tapuchim, it becomes chametz nuksha. Problem is, Frekt Tosos and Dafnun Gimelamad Alf Tibra Maschel Ella, Frekt Tosos the following Kasha. In Mesechus Kulin, the Gemara says, Bipshitos, the Chametz Nuksha is considered Chametz for the mitzvah of Lachme Toda. That if you want to fulfill the mitzvah of having some Lachme Toda as Chametz, Chametz Nuksha is good enough. And yet over here, the Rabbanan seem to hold chametz nukshos not considered chametz for the shtei alechem and the lachmei toda, because metzius wise, everyone seems to agree that when you put in tapuchim, it becomes chametz nuksha. And you have a machlokas over here, whether that counts for the chametz or the lachmei toda or the shtei alechem. So Tosos quotes, gives two terutzim. Number one, he says, the machlokas between the Rabbanan and Mechanin Megamliel is only about p'diyeved. If you wore machmetz, the lachmei toda, and the shtei alechem with chametz nuksha, b'diyeved are you yotze. So he says the Indian b'diyeved, the machlokas was not about a b'diyeved. B'diyeved, everyone would hold your yotze. They're all machlokas, and that's what the Gemara in Chulin was talking about. That for sure you yotze. For sure it counts as chametz. Their question was lichatchila, can you do it? Lichatchila, can you make the lachmei toda in such a way? Lichatchila, can you make the shtei alechem in such a way? Can you try lichatchila to make it out of chametz nuksha? That's one answer Tosfos gives. The other answer is that the machlokas Rabbanan Rabbi Chanina is whether tapuchim actually make it chametz nuksha only, or whether they make it chametz gomer. That we're misunderstanding the Gemara over here. The Gemara is not saying that the metzius is not in dispute and that it for sure only makes it chametz nuksha, and it's a question whether chametz nuksha counts for shtei alechem and lachmei toda. No, the question is, does it only make it chametz nuksha, or does it make it chametz gomer? But that Rabbanan hold that it's not considered a chametz gomer, it's only considered chametz nuksha, and therefore lechatchila you're not supposed to use it for to be machmitz your dough. But Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel holds that the tapuchim actually make it chametz gomer even lechatchila. So that's the way Tosfos deals with this issue. You need a dough. There's a machlokas rishonim when you need a dough with shemen and dvash without mayim. So we say may peros are not machmitz. The Gemara in Pesachim says beferish that may peros aren't machmitz. May peros don't make something chametz. Does that mean that it's not machmitz chametz gomer, but chametz nuksha it is? So some say yeah. Some say that if you are lush with yayin, shemen and dvash without any water, then it becomes chametz nuksha, but not chametz gomer. Others say no. If you put yayin, shemen and dvash together with water, then it becomes chametz nuksha. If there's no water at all and you only have mei peros, so a significant group of rishonim, primarily the Rambam, holds that in and Rabbi Natam Koran Tosfos Dibur Maskelin Machmitzin, they hold that if you have no water whatsoever, it's not chametz at all. It's not chametz nuksha either. This is the major issue of egg matzos. When you have apple juice matzos or anything like that, pure mei peros matzos without any water in it. So is it going to be a problem? Can it become chametz? So the Rambam paskins unequivocally in Hilchos Chametz Matzah Perikei Halacha Beis that if you only put mei peros in, it can't cause any chimutz whatsoever. Right? So therefore, you're never going to have a problem. Shitas Rashi happens to be is that it can cause chimutz, and not only can it cause chimutz, the chimutz process is much quicker when you have meperos than when you have water. So it becomes chametz nuksha when you put meperos in it. That's why the Ramaz Choshesh for Shitas Rashi, that's why Ashkenazim don't eat egg matzahs unless they're sick or infirm or whatever and need to eat egg matzahs. Because we're Choshesh for Shitas Rashi that not only are meperos machmitz, they're machmitz more quickly than water would be machmitz. They're not machmitz to make it chametz gomer. They only make it chametz nuksha, but still it makes a chametz nuksha more quickly. Okay, says Gemara Vayter, Amar Rabila, Ein lecha akasha l'kemitza yosu minchas chotei. There's no more difficult kemitza than the kemitza we do on the minchas chotei. Rav Yitzchak Bar Adimi, Amar minchas chotei megablu b'mayim u'ksheira. Rav Yitzchak Bar Adimi says you can mix it with water, and that's kosher. Salema b'haka miflugi, this is what they're arguing about. Demar sover kemos shehen misha'arinan, umar sover likemos shahayu misha'arinan. Question is, how do you measure? Do you measure them as they are right now, or do you measure them as they were? So if you measure them as they are now, then it's a komets that is like it is, and therefore it's no problem. You just take it as it is, and that's a fine kmitza. But if you have to measure out the kmitza based on what it was, so then it's going to be very difficult to measure out exactly what it's supposed to be. So says Gemara, lo, dukuli amma kamoshe in misharino. And everyone says that you measure it based on what it is right now, and therefore the kmitza should be fine. So why is it so hard to do the kmitza? When we say that it's supposed to be a dry mincha, so what do we mean? Is it dry just from shemen, but you could add in water? Or do we say it's chareva mikol davar, that it has to be entirely dry? If you look at Rashi, kasavar chareva mikol davar, mashma mincha schote ikri chareva, tichsiv kol mincha blul b'shemen v'chareva. So that's what the issue is. So if you're able to add in water, so the question is, if you're able to add in water, then it makes the kmitza a lot easier to do. If you're not able to add in water, the kmitza becomes much more difficult. So that's a machlokas, whether this kmitza is a difficult kmitza or not. Tosos just points out that the over here it sounds like the mincha schote, which is not baked, is the most difficult kmitza to do. But we had a gemara earlier on in this mesechta, much earlier in the mesechta, on Daf Yud Aleph, that told us that kmitza is avoda kasha shebimigdash, and the gemara explained that we're talking about the kmitza of the minchas machlas and marcheshes, which are baked. Because how do you take of an exact kmitza without any extra sticking outside of your fingers? How do you take an exact kmitza when something is already baked? You're going to have to take exactly the right size. And when you knock off whatever's sticking out, you can't knock off too much extra. You have to knock off exactly the right size. So that's extremely challenging. So Tosos Maseches Yuma is metarets. Is mitarit this question that when we say over here that kmitza, melika, chafina, aravodus kasha shabamigdash, that means that they are most painful for a kohen to do, that there's tsar for the kohen in doing it, that for a kohen to be, there's tsar for a kohen to be mochek an already baked karban mincha. By melika, there's tsar for a kohen to be molek the mafrekes, to kill the animal from the back of the neck with his fingernail. By the chafina, to hold the bezach between his teeth as he tries to get into the Kodesh HaKadosh and balancing everything he needs to hold, that causes him tsar, meaning most challenging in terms of it's an annoying type of avoda. It's a difficult type of avoda. As opposed to over here, when we talk about minchas chote, there's no tsar in the mechika, it's just difficult to actually get it right. It's difficult to get the measure right, meaning it's not challenging to do in the sense that that it causes you pain or discomfort or anything. It's just challenging to get the measurement right. So it's a different kind of avodah kasha shebimigdash. In the Birch Hazevach, he writes that the Rambam paskens like Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. In our Gemara, the Rambam paskens like Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, that you're allowed to be megabel b'mayim based on that Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph, that the avodah kasha of mikdash is only on already baked karbanos mincha. But if you hold like Rav Yitzchak, that must be because you hold like Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi that the minchas chote is not such an avodah kasha. Why? Because you're allowed to add water. The Rambam assumes that Gemara sheds light on our Gemara, that they're not talking about two different topics. That's how the Birch Hazevach tries to make the two Gemaras fit with each other. Okay, so says the Gemara further. Tanan Hasam, Basar Ha'egel. So once we're talking about things that take on different sizes as you add water or take away water from them, so Basar Ha'egel Shenitbach. If let's say you have meat of a calf that swells up, ubasar zakenish in a smaich, or basar of an older animal that has shriveled, mishtar in the kamos shehen. So then you measure them likamos shehen. Rabchia of Rabbi Yochanan, mishtar in kimos shehen. What's the difference between likamos shehen and kimos shehen? So kimos shehen is that the way they are right now. Likamos shehen is the way that they were. So how do you measure out the proper shear, let's say, for tumas ochlin? And we know that food can only be mitame if it's at least the size of a kibetza. So it was a kibetza, but then it shriveled, so now it's less than a kibetza. Or it wasn't a kibetza, but now it expanded, it swelled up, now it is a kibetza. So do we measure it as a kibetza, or do we not measure it as a kibetza? So that's the machlokes. Shmuel v'Rabbi Shimon Barabi v'Reish Lakish Amri mishtarin l'kamos shehen. Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Barabi and Reish Lakish say we are mishtar l'kamos shehen. Rashi says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kamo Shehein Shaninu Demashma Kamo Shehein Achshav Ubasara Egel Tame. Kamo Shehein means the way they are now, and therefore the Basara Egel that has swelled up is Tame, because right now it's a Kabetza. Hol the Achshav Yeshma Kabetza. Basara Zakena Shapachas Shapiche is Tahar, and the Basara Zakena that shriveled is going to be Tahar. Whereas the other Shita is no, the Kamo Shehein, or the way the Bach changes it to makes it even better, the Kamo Shehayu, we measure it based on how it once was. So the Gemara tries to bring two rayas to try to prove one way or the other. So says the Gemara, Meisvei, Basra Egel Shalo Hayabo Kashir, V'tafach V'amad Al Kashir, if you have a meat of a calf that was not a kibetza, and then it blew up, it expanded, it swelled up to a shear, Tahar, L'sha'avar, V'tame Mikanu La'aba. So it was Tahar, but now we view it as Tame, meaning it didn't have the ability to be Mitame before because it was less than a Kabetza, but now it does. So isn't that a clear Raya that we measure it based on what it is right now and not based on what it was? Says Gemara, Midrabanan. No, that's only Din Midrabanan, but on Dar Raisa level, it's still not Mitame. So frankly, Gemara Yehachi, if it's all Midrabanan, Ema Seifa, V'chein B'Pigul, V'chein B'Nosar. It says, and the same is true by Pigul and Nosar. Iyam B'Shlam Dar Raisa, Hainudikul Pigul and Osar. So if we're talking about our rices, I understand how we can talk about Pigul and Osar. Rashi points out that we're assuming right now when we say V'chem Pigul V'chem Nosar is if Nosar or Pigul didn't have a Kazayas and then it blew up to a Kazayas, if you eat it, are you Chayiv Kares for eating Kazayas of Pigul and Osar? Right? So that we're assuming that yes, that it's saying that you're Chayiv Kares. But what do you mean? Chayiv Kares midrabanan? No such thing. You're only Chayiv Kares and our rices. So how could it only be talking about a Din midrabanan? So Eliyam Ritrabban Pigal Venosa Mitrabban Miika. Is there such a thing as a Chiv Kares for eating a Kazayas of Pigal Mitrabbanan? That doesn't make any sense. So Ema Vchain Bitumas Pigal Vchain Bitumas Nosar. No, what we're talking about over here is a different din drabanan. Nothing to do with the Isra Kares of eating a Kazayas of Pigal, eating Kazayas of Nosar. We're talking about a din drabanan that appears in Maseches Pesachim Daf Pehei, that Pigal and Nosar are Metame Yaseyadayim. That even if you have Pigal and Nosar that aren't really Tame, they never touched a Dover Tame ever. Still, when you touch them, it's Metame Yaseyadayim. Even if they never touched Tuma, because of the Chashade Kuhuna, the Gemara explains over there. So, Dindarabanan, anything that's mitame yaseyadayim is always a dindarabanan, because midar raisa, your hands can't become tame without the rest of your body becoming tame. So the very notion of mitame yaseyadayim is obviously a dindarabanan. So we're talking about that din. What if you have a kazayas of pigle, but it used to not be a kazayas, it just blew up to a kazayas, and then you touched it? Is it mitame yadayim? So that's what we're saying, v'chein b'pigle v'chein minosa, that yes, it is mitame yadayim, midarabanan. What's the havamina that it shouldn't be? I might have thought that since the very concept of pigul and nosar being metame or yadayim is only a concept midrabanan, and the very idea that something that blows up to a full shear that wasn't always the full shear is also only a din drabanan that we consider it based on what it is now, that we don't make a double drabanan, that we're not going to make this takana drabanan on the takana drabanan, that we're not going to consider something that wasn't a kazayas of pigul that is blown up to be a kazayas midrabanan for a din drabanan that it's metame or yadayim. I would have thought that far the rabbanan aren't misakein. So kamash malan, that yes, they are misakein. So the first attempt at a proof is unsuccessful, right? We tried to prove that you measure it like it is now. It was an unsuccessful proof. So Tashma, the Gemara says, let's bring another raya. Basar zakeinah shayibok kashir v'tzamak pachas mikshir. We have meat that was a shear and then shriveled and shrunk to less than the shear. Tamei l'shavu v'tar mikana laba. So it was tamei because it used to be the shear, but henceforth it's tahar because now it's pachas mikashir. So it seems very clear that you measure based on what it is right now, and right now it's pachas mikashir. We don't measure based on what it was. So Amar Rabba kol heicha demei kara havabe v'ashta lesbe halesbe. Anything that used to have a certain shear, but now it doesn't. So he says everyone agrees. That's not a machlokas even. Everyone agrees that if it doesn't have the shear right now, it's not a shear. V'kol heicha demei kara lo havabe v'ashta have a bay midrabanan. Not only that, everyone also agrees that initially if something was small and then it swelled up to the shear, everyone agrees that it's considered to have that shear only on a drabanan level, not on a daraisa level. So it's interesting. When things shrink on a Daraisa level, we consider them what they are now. When things expand, it's only on a Darabbanan level that we consider what it is now. On a Daraisa level, we still consider what it was. That's Lekulei Alma. Where's their Machlokes? Ki pligi, kigon shahayubo kashir, vitsamak v'chazar v'tafach. The Machlokes is, if it had a shear, and then it shriveled, and then it expanded again. So that's the question. Demarsa, when it shriveled, do we say, okay, now on a Daraisa level, it's considered Kemosha, who is considered the lesser shear, and then when it goes and it re-expands, so do we assume Mida Oraisa, we view it as it was really originally with the full shear? Or do we say, no, when things expand, it's only Mida Rabbanan? So since Mida Oraisa changed to Pachas Mikashir, so now Mida Oraisa can't ever go back to more than the shear, it can only go back Mida Rabbanan. So Demarsa, Yesh Dicha B'Yisura, Marsa, Reindicha B'Yisura. That's the question, whether Yesh Dicha B'Yisura or not. Do we assume that once it's Nidcha from the shear, by being mitstamik, by becoming smaller, that it remains Nidcha forever? Or do we, and therefore the most that could happen is Mida Rabbanan go back to the shear, but not Mida Oraisa? Or do we assume that no, you can't say that it's Nidcha, it's fluctuating, but we can always go back to what it originally was if it goes back to that size, and therefore Mida Oraisa, it would still have the din of being that size. Now, Tosus asks, there's a Gemara in Shabbos that Rava raises the shaila, if a person is motzi chatzvi grogros lizria, a person takes out a half a grogros on a chotzah on Shabbos, violates melech of chotzah on Shabbos on a chatzvi grogros, the shear is a grogros to use for zria, and then it swells, and he decides to use it instead for achila. So since he wouldn't have changed his mind, so he definitely would not have violated the isra v'otzah, because meaning had it not swelled, then he would have just wanted to eat it without it swelling. The shir hotzah l'achila is a grogros. So what does it matter that it swelled? So Tosfos points out, but in our Gemara it sounds like min haTorah, swelling is not mitztarif to the shir hanitzrach, right? So the swelling shouldn't make a difference. Why does Rava raise the shaila in the Gemara Shabbos that swelling matters? That you see that it swelled on a daraisa level in terms of chiyuv for Shabbos, swelling shouldn't really make a difference. So that's what Tosfos raises the question. All the Rishonim deal with that question. The other issue that relates somewhat to our sugya is on to what level do we assume that things that have expanded in other areas of halacha, in Hilchos Brachos, that they're mashal mashir. Let's say you have a rice cake. So rice starts out very tiny, but then they puff it up and they fill it with air. So to what extent do we assume that that's considered the new shear, or to what extent do we measure it based on what it was? So in Meseches Uktzin, in Perek Bey's Mishnah Ches, the Mishnah says that pas sifgonis, sponge cake, mishta'eres b'kamos shehi, it's measured based on what it is now, but if it has a major air hole, then you're mema'ich that air hole. If there's like a major cavity of air, so that doesn't count toward the shear, but otherwise it does count toward the shear. So there's machlokas achronin. This din of pas sifgonis is the same din as basar egel shenitvach, as the meat in our Gemara that expands. Since the Gemara's maskan over here is that basar egel that expands and that now has a shear, that really only works mida rabbanan. It doesn't work mida oraisa. Do we say the same thing by the cake, by the rice cakes, let's say, that that the fact that you measure it like it is only a din d'rabbanan and not a din d'oraisa? That mida oraisa would not be measured based on what it is. Mida oraisa would be measured based on what it originally was. Karen Ora writes that you can be mechalik between the meat and in our Gemara and the pas sifgonis, because even though the maskanas Gemara is that by the meat it's only midrabanan, by this pas sifgonis he says the shiura kamoshehi minatora. The Mishnah is talking on a daraisa level that it would be measured based on what it is. In terms of psak halacha, it seems that there's a stira in the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura in Hilchos Pesach Siman Tav Hey Vav, Sif Katan Gimel writes that if there's no major air cavity in your matzah, even though the matzah is soft, it's spongy, and therefore there are obviously a lot of little air pockets, Mishnah Berurah says you don't have to crush it to measure the shear, you don't have to squeeze it to measure the shear. You can assume the shear based on what it actually is. Rav Shechter quotes that Mishnah Berurah in his tshuva where he says that Ashkenazim are allowed to eat Sfardi matzahs, the soft Sfardi matzahs, that there's no minug for Ashkenazim not to eat Sfardi matzahs. We just haven't done it, but it's not a betoras minug. Like the way he said in his tshuva is, it's like if you davened in a shul your whole life that has a blue paroches, you can't say my minug is not to have a red paroches. No, it just happens to be what you've done. You haven't have not eaten Sfardi matzahs, and one of his rites is that Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah just says very matter-of-factly, if you're eating soft matzahs, you know, when you're measuring out the shear, you don't have to squeeze it. Soft matzahs, it's an Ashkenazi. So yeah, apparently you can. But anyway, but in terms of the shear, so the Sharetzin over there says, near Pashut, that in regards to Birch Samazon, the same thing would be true, that it would be Mishta'eres Kemoshehi, the way it is. So that's one line in Mishnah Berurah. But in Siman Reish Yud, Sivkat Analef, Mishnah Berurah writes, Hayapasuv Ganin Shenitbach Ad She'ena Avirim Shabon Yergashim, if you have sponge cake or spongy bread, ha'ochel kezayis menu kimoshehu eino mevarech. If you eat a kezayis the way it is right now, no birchas hamazon. Dilafia emes lo ochel kezayis, because in truth you didn't eat a kezayis. So the Mishnah Berurah associated himself. So that's a kasha that all the Achronim ask of the Mishnah Berurah. Very challenging kasha. What to do with that Mishnah Berurah? Associated himself from one place to the other. Okay, let's see the Gemara further. Third line. Is there anyone that really holds that an Isser, once it's nidcha, that once it went below the shear, it can never go back above the shear, even if it expands? Vatanan, we have a Mishnah, Maseches Taros, Kibetza Ochlin. Let's say you have a Kibetza of food. Sheinicha Becham of Nismat, you put it in the sun and it shrivels up. Vachem Kazayas Min Ames, Kazayas Min Avelu, Kadash Min Asheretz, any of the shearim that are Metame, a Kazayas from Ames, a Kazayas from Nevela, a Kadash from Sharetz, Kazayis Pigul, Kazayis Nosa, Kazayis Chelev, any of these critical shiurim that you put in the sun and they shrivel up, Tahorin, Ve'in Chayav Nalem Shem Pigul Nosa V'Chelev. They become Tahar because they are less than the shear now, and you're not Chayav for Pigul Nosa V'Chelev because they don't have the shear. But then, not a different case, same case, you then take that same piece, and he nichon begeshamim, and you put it in the rain, v'tafchu, and it expands. Again, it's the same case. So we're talking about a piece that was large enough, then shriveled up. Now you're putting it back in the rain, and it's growing again. Temein, v'chayav alayim, yishon pigul, v'noser v'chaylev. So what do you see? That when it shrank, it didn't, we don't say it was, it's nidche. So that's it, it can never become the shear again. No, when it expands again, it can become the shear again. Tiyufta l'mandi amri yeshti chubi yisurin tiyufta. So that's a bottom line. That's a major difficult kasha for the shita that wants to say that yeshti chubi yisurin. So that's a major, major kasha. Now this whole concept of yeshti chubi yisurin, Rav Shmuel in Chidush Rabbeinu Shmuel raises the question that lechora the din of shir kazayis by machalos asuros, that the fact that I'm not allowed to eat a kazayis by machalos asuros, lechora that's a din halachah Moshe Misinai, that if you eat less than a kazayis, it's not a maisa achila. So what's the whole issue over here? If there's dichui b'yisurin and dichui b'yisurin, if what I ate is a kazayis, so then it's a maisa achila. Meaning, what do I care about whether it's considered that this cheftza is a cheftza of a kazayis? Not, isn't the whole din of a kazayis a din in a maisa achila? So as long as I ate a kazayis, so then it's an achila. Meaning, midah raisa, even a chatzi shir is asur min haTorah. Right, chatzi shir of any isser is asur min haTorah. So it's an isser daraisa to eat anything, no matter how tiny. Why am I not punished? Because I didn't do a maisa achila. When I do a maisa achila, how do I define a maisa achila on a kazayis? So I don't care what this is. Granted, it blew up in the rain, but I'm eating something that's asur midaraisa, and I'm doing a proper maisa achila on it. So Shmuel says, what you see from this Gemara, the fact that we talk about dichoy over here, what you see is that aside from the maisa achila element of a kazayis, when we say that there's a shir kazayis, it's a din in the cheftza also, that it doesn't have a full-fledged cheftza shalisser unless it's a kazayis. Because if it weren't a din in the cheftza, then there would be no discussion over here. Of course I would be chayiv for eating a blown-up piece that blew up to a kazayis. Tashma, let's bring another raya. Tormentainim alagrogos b'minyin. You're allowed to take Tormin, Rashi says over here, means Meiser. You take Meisros, and we'll see why he says that. You're allowed to take Meisros from figs on Grogros, on pressed dried figs. So if there are 90 pressed dried figs in a fig cake, I could take 10 regular figs as the Meisros on that. The 10 regular figs are twice the size of the 90 that are pressed together and dried. No, but you do it based on minyan. You do it based on number. So if we measure it based on what it once was, so I understand very good, because all those fig cakes used to be normal. But if we measure it based on what it is, so aren't I being marba b'maisos? And v'tanya, it should be marba b'maisos perosim is kana marasos mekukalum, and your marba b'maisos, it doesn't have a din of maisos. Elamai l'kamoshein. So the Gemara says, well, what, how do you think you're going to solve this problem by saying that we measure it based on what it was? Em a sefer grogros al te'enim b'mida. But then the sefer says that when your mafresh grogros on te'enim, you do it in the reverse. Your mafresh the grogros is the maisos on the te'enim. You do it based on how much it measures out to right now. See, I'm bishlam kamoshein shapir. So if you measure it based on what it is now, that makes sense. Eliyavr likamoshein marbe b'maisosu. But if you say it's likamoshein, then you're being marbe b'maisos. So it's either way you run into trouble. Elahacha b'truma gadol askinan v'reisha b'ayin yafa v'seifa b'ayin yafi. So it must be that we're dealing with truma gadol, we're not dealing with maisos, and you're just being generous because truma gadol you can give as much as you want. Maisos has to be exactly 10%. So we say you always err on the side of generosity with truma gadol. Frankly, Gemara truma gadol ihachi emesayfa Rabbi Yosi abba hayinot al eser grogos from tzoa al tishim shabakalkala. He gave 10 for the 90. Why would he give 10% dafka for truma gadol? It doesn't make any sense. It must be that we're talking about maestros. Elahacha b'trumas maestro askinan. We're dealing with trumas maestro. V'ablozer ben gomel hu detanya. Ablozer ben gomel omer v'nechshav lachem trumaskam b'shtei trumas akas medaber ach truma gadol v'ach trumas maestro. That we compare truma gadol to trumas maestro in the following way. K'shem she truma gadol intels ba'omer b'machshava kach trumas maestro intels ba'omer u'b'machshava ma truma gadol ba'in yafa af trumas maestro ba'in yafa. That you can be generous with trumas maestro the same way we're generous with Truma Gedola. Okay, we'll pick up from there.